Welcome to the Lucema Podcast. I'm Charles Lucema. Yay. All right. I'm back in the car. It's like the only place I feel like I can podcast naturally. I don't know. I think there's something about the acoustics. I think there's something nice about the privacy, about being in a very small, enclosed environment. Well, outside of the office is nice too. But I don't really feel comfortable podcasting at home. There's a lot of background noise. If it's not the washing machine or the dryer, it's the gardeners. Or if it's not the gardeners, it's the kids. Or the nannies running around doing stuff. So it's a lot easier for me to do this from the car, even if I'm not going anywhere, which in this case is true. I am literally just sitting in the car and on the passenger side, which is really strange. Just because it was closer to the door, so I just hopped in. It doesn't matter. Anyway. It was important for me to get on the mic today because I was, I had something worth talking about, which is not always the case. So you'll have to pardon me if I get excited about some things and just try to get it off my chest before I forget it or before I don't want to talk about it anymore. And in this case, I was just looking through some of the pictures I'd shot on, I think it was Wednesday. Yesterday was Thursday, yeah. I think I shot on Wednesday. So I shot a girl on Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What matters is really that the shoot came together really fast. I think she literally messaged me like the day before or 2 days ahead of time. And really nice, good-looking girl. She's Brazilian, very cool. Tall, long legs. I mean, there wasn't anything for me to complain about, really. Of course, that being said, you know me, there's always something to complain about, but let me put this in a way where I don't pin this on her, right? So generally speaking, when I qualify the models that message me, I want to make sure that they're comfortable with nudity so that I don't have to ask for something they can't do and I don't get disappointed and they don't get disappointed for expecting me to shoot them with clothes on. So the understanding is set out ahead of it, you know, ahead of time, well in advance, so that everybody's on the same page. So, of course, I ask her. She says, yeah, she's comfortable with nudity. I don't even qualify what kind of nudity anymore. I don't. I used to say, like, you know, fashion nudity or whatnot, but I started realizing that people got really confused. Some people would think that fashion nudity is like implied nudity, which to me it's not. It's how basically you would find nudity in, say, Vogue or W or V or any of the higher fashion magazines. So basically nudity that is not glamour nudity, but still nudity. It's not implied. It's not covered. So I used to talk about that. I used to have to, you know, explain that, but it got really confusing. And I just, to make it all just much simpler, I just want to make sure from here on out, generally, I just ask them if they're comfortable with nudity, and that's rather clear. You know, I'm not qualifying it one way or another. It just is or isn't. And she said she was, so I shot her. She was very nice. I didn't have any problems with her, except for the part where I could sense that she wasn't as comfortable with nudity. I had a lot more shots where she was covered up than I really wanted. So that's generally my fault. I mean, as I'm shooting, if I'm not paying attention to the fact that her arms aren't moving because she's covering herself in many of the shots. And honestly, and the other thing is, I think I want to be fair to her and say that she didn't have the opportunity to move as much. I don't know if she's just not as comfortable with a lot more motion as I'd like. I generally like a lot of motion. Or maybe also because she was on the ground, not standing up as much. So again, I want to be fair to people and not always blame them for what I see on the computer at the end of the day. But you know, the fact of the matter is, I did sense that she wasn't comfortable in nudity. I did get a lot of pictures where she was covering herself up a lot. And then also there wasn't as much variation as I'd like. And variation, variety, motion, movement, you know, that kind of stuff. And again, I'm also putting the lion's share of the blame on myself because, hey, I was there. I shot it. So who else am I supposed to blame? That all being said, that's actually, I mean, come on, that's not the first time that that's going to happen to me. That's not the first time that I've experienced that or been disappointed at my own pictures on the computer. I think the main point I wanted to share with you was that it dawned on me how, and don't take this the wrong way, I don't think I'm a terrible photographer, but it dawned on me, and when I was looking through the pictures, I thought to myself, I thought, you know, I could be really bad at this sometimes, in the sense that, you know, when I see these pictures like that, I'm like, come on, you know, like, this isn't your first rodeo. Why are you presenting me more pictures of her covering herself when I've already seen 200 of them? And I guess it's that retrospect of, how is it that you didn't catch that when you were shooting it? Or how come you didn't say anything, you know? Or how come you didn't, like, one of the things I realized at the end of the shoot was, like, I didn't take a single picture of her standing up. And that's actually very unusual. I've never done that. I've never shot a whole shoot and all of the pictures were groundwork. But the... You know, that shouldn't have surprised me. That should not have been a revelation at the end of the shoot where I was thinking to myself, wow, how come I didn't? That should have been on purpose. If I wanted to do all that work on the ground on purpose, then fine, then, you know, be more purposeful about it. And I felt, you know, I guess I could have gotten a little bit more variety if I had her standing up. There was, I mean, of course, that entire shoot, I mean, there was the intent of doing a lot of the work on the ground, especially with the light I was working with and whatnot, and on the couch and whatnot. But then there was also that slightly not planned part where it just kind of happened that way, you know. And I'm much more for doing things out of design and out of purpose. So when I discovered that I didn't shoot her much, or at all rather, standing up, that part is a little disappointing to me because that was not planned. And I don't know. That being said, there is something striking about the way that I'm shooting right now, which is a lot more flowing. I flow through my shots. I flow through the things that I'm getting kind of in a dreamlike state. So I'm kind of meandering through the shoot myself. I'm not really trying to, I think at the beginning of the set, you know, I'll say, okay, this is what we're trying to get. But as I start shooting, I'm really going from scene to scene, and I'm not trying to purposely force anything like, oh, hey, I was going to get this, let's do that now. It's more like, oh, there's this, okay, let's get that. And then there's that, and then let's get that. And then, okay, what about this? And so I'm just going from one thing to another, and I'm trying to get as much as I can along the way. It's like I'm on a roller coaster ride and I'm just trying to, you know, take it all in, but I don't know where everything is going. And that being said, the benefit of that lately that I've discovered is I'm getting a lot more shots that are a little bit more unusual for me, a little bit different as far as crops and compositions and angles and stuff. And so in that dreamlike state, I'm really allowing myself to just go. And literally let go, which is really hard for me to do, but I'm letting go of the things that I thought were real or true or set in stone. Like some of the compositions that I've been shooting are very strange. Some of the crops I'm shooting are distorted and they're ununiform or unorthodox or insert, you know, fill in the blank with some adjective that is different. And for me, that's really important because that does mean that I'm still learning and growing. It also means that I'm doing things differently, which means also that I'm improvising. I am changing things up. So, look, at the time when I was shooting this, I wasn't upset at all. There's nothing to be upset about. In fact, everything went really well. She was mostly very complicit. I was having a good time, and that's really, I mean, one of the things that is very different about my shoots now is I'm having more fun. I'm actually paying attention to that and just trying to make sure that things are, like, that stoke is good, rather than trying to work a problem, you know, which I'm so very very easily, like I easily fall down that path of, okay, what's the problem and what am I trying to solve for? You know, seeing this thing as an equation rather than as an experience. So if I'm able to live it and feel it and breathe it and be that thing, be there and present at that moment, I think I can get something better. Now, all that being said, of course, I have to answer to the guy who sits in front of the computer for hours and hours and hours on end, trying to polish a turd, like, you know, we talked about in the last podcast or two. And that guy doesn't play that in the way, in the name of, or in the, yeah, in the way that Damon Wayans used to say on In Living Color. He used to play this character, Homie the Clown, and Homie used to have the saying, Homie, don't play that. Homie, don't play that. That's basically it. The guy who sits in front of the computer, he has to look through all this stuff, and he doesn't care if you had a good time or not. What he cares about is, dude, are you giving me enough to work with? And if you're not, then it has nothing to do with you being in a dreamlike state or not. It has nothing to do with you having a good time. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with, I don't have enough to work with. I don't have variety, I don't have the right crops, I don't have the right compositions, I don't have any picture standing up. And you're making my life hard. So that guy, it's like the management team versus the board of directors. You know, you've got basically two sides to the coin of what is a business. And the management team is the people who are, they are the people who like execute. They're on, they're operationally day to day. They're there. They govern. They do. And then you've got these board of directors, most of whom represent the shareholders, or they are shareholders themselves. And then they're like, well, this is the direction of the company. Now, you guys who are the executives, you guys who are the management, you guys got to execute this. Now, it would be nice if everybody got along and did, you know, work together, but every now and then these two groups of people don't always see eye to eye. Because shareholders want what shareholders want, which is basically they want return on their investment. And the managers, they're employees. I mean, that's what they are. They're salaried. You know, of course, they have incentives and bonuses that, like, they're compensated based upon their performance. But they also, you know, are oftentimes, they have stock options and stuff. So, you know, it's also in their best interest that the company makes money, but they also answer to their employees. So they're managing up, and they're also managing down, right? They're managing the employees below them, but they're also managing the directors and the shareholders above them. So the reason I bring that up is because, you know, integrally, when you talk about me as a photographer and also as a retoucher, I'm bipolar, right? Because, oh, well, in multiple ways, I actually probably am bipolar. But beyond that, it's really that I play so many different roles and I wear so many different hats that the guy who sits in front of the computer really isn't the same guy who's doing makeup, who isn't the same guy who's taking the pictures, who isn't the same guy who actually looks at the whole Instagram and goes, you know, maybe directionally speaking, we got to change up, or we got to get more variety, or we got to get more color, or we got to get more this and that. So, like, that's the editor, the guy who looks at Instagram, who's like trying to you know, create a better looking portfolio. That's the editor. Then you got the guy who's taking the pictures, who's really executing on you know, on a ground level, on the grassroots level, who's like making things happen and, you know, interacting with the model and whatnot. And then you got the guy who sits in front of the computer who doesn't give a shit about any of that, who all he wants to do is just make sure that things look as good as possible, but he can't polish a turd. So you got to give him something good to work with. And yeah, and all those characters are wrapped up and rolled into one. But there are discrepancies in each role in what they're trying to accomplish, right? And then you've got this new guy who's just trying to learn makeup, you know, and who's enthralled by it, but still screws up a lot and then slows down the process for the photographer, and also occasionally makes it hard for the retoucher. You know, there's that. So anyway, what I was trying to get at before I went on this long tangent was actually that, you know, I'm not here to gripe about how I may or may not be upset about the shoot. that's just a fact of life. I'm not actually terribly upset about it. I think I've got plenty to go on. It's just that there are little things that I ought to work on. But those little things, what they really exemplify, what's really happening here. I'll take a moment just to breathe because I know I talk really fast. But so what's really happening here is, I came to the realization that, sometimes I can really not be such a great photographer. And that's saying it nicely. And I'm not trying to be mean about it or anything. I'm not trying to be down on myself. The point of it is that I think there was a point in time when I thought that, this is kind of easy. I'm okay at this. And there's probably not much for me left to learn. On the contrary, when I stepped away just for a little bit and came back at it and looked at it with just a little bit of a twist, it really just dawned on me how little I know. Like 7 years into it, and I can write a dissertation about interaction, model interaction, photographer interaction, whatever. And yet there's still so much that I don't know. Like I feel like forever I'll just be scratching the surface, And that's, I think, the real point of what I'm saying here is, it's amazing how little I know. It's amazing how often I can still screw things up. And of course, as you get better, one of the things that you'll see improve is your yield rate. Your yield rate, which is basically how many pictures do you get that are good out of a shoot. As you shoot more and as you get better, your yield goes up. That production, like the stuff that you can actually use per shoot, goes up. Consistency is definitely a sign of like your experience and how good you are. That's why, like in the beginning, when you're an amateur photographer, you'll get a lot of hits or misses, right? You'll have one good shoot, one bad shoot, one good shoot, one bad shoot, or two good shoots, two bad shoots, or three bad shoots, one good shoot. It's just so random. There, you can't put your finger on it. You don't even know what you're doing wrong. Or you do, and you just can't change it. And a lot of that just has to do with being new at it. And over time, what happens is you get better at controlling for these variables, whether it's the model or whether it's location, lighting, your photography, whatever. And you just start to really hone in on those. I talked about this example before, 95% times 95% times 95%. Versus 99% times 99%, 99%. If you're just off by a little bit over time, you have a lot of variance, but you really need to be like spot on. You really need to nail a lot of these things down so that they're not floating and moving parts. And that's, of course, a sign of getting better at your craft. But the incredible realization that I just had sitting in front of this computer was that, I've been doing this for 7 years. How the hell am I still making rookie mistakes? Right? Like, how do you not see that she's not moving her hands? I don't have an answer for that. That's like, if someone said that to me, I'd be really fucking upset. It's okay that I say it to myself because I'm pretty much the only one who could criticize me without me getting really upset and without me going nuclear. But if someone said that to me and like looked through my pictures and was like, dude, okay, you don't see that like she's not moving her arms, like row after row after row of pictures. You don't want to do anything about that? Yeah, but I mean, retrospect is useless, right? I can't go back and change the shoot. But the thing is, I can't believe I'm still making that kind of a mistake now. What do I have to say for myself? I don't know. I really don't know, man. That's kind of embarrassing, dude. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad here. I'm not trying to make myself feel bad. That doesn't help anybody, and it really doesn't accomplish anything. And that also negates the good things that were happening. But again, that's really all beside the point. What is really rather what I'm trying to get to is that I still have to open my eyes. I still have to get my head out of my butt. I still have to like make sure that I'm still pushing and still learning. And, come on. How could I possibly think that there wasn't much left for me to learn? How could I even think that? You know, and I don't know how many other people think that. You know, just because you can't, or you've hit a plateau, or you've gotten to the point where you feel like you're pretty good, doesn't mean that you've exhausted everything under the sun. You've just exhausted everything you're capable of getting to right now, or what you have access to, given your models, given your locations, your equipment, or whatever it is that you have access to. Like, with your set of tools and your set of skills and experiences, just because that's all you're capable of making doesn't mean that there's not more. There's always more. And you're always going to be scratching at the surface. So I suppose it's a reminder for me. I suppose this podcast is really kind of just a wake-up call for me, and just saying, hey, don't forget this day when you realize just how mediocre you could be, and just how much more there is for you to do, and how much more there is for you to grow and learn and develop. Because it's an art. You can never finish it. This isn't a job where you can walk away from it feeling like I've done everything there is to do. There isn't. There's always more for you to do. It's not quantifiable. That's part of the problem. And as an art, it keeps growing. That thing, that art itself, is constantly morphing into a new thing. Especially with an art that is so highly dependent on technology. So not only is it impossible for you to learn everything, it is doubly impossible for you to learn even half of what there is out there as things keep changing. You can't learn that fast. All you can do is scratch at the surface, but at least understand that you're just scratching the surface, rather than ever thinking that you are, there's nothing left for you. Now, if you feel like there's nothing left for you, that's because you haven't looked far enough, or you haven't tried hard enough. It's a lot like when people say, the only people who are bored are boring people, right? Because if you're... there's so much. How could you possibly be bored? Look at what there is. I mean, look outside. Look at the world. How could you be bored? If you're bored, go to a war zone. I guarantee you won't be bored there. So, that's basically it. I mean, a lot of this is having just, you know, being able to share with you what I think when I'm sitting in front of the computer. It's quite amazing, honestly, because I think a lot of things in front of the computer. Sometimes I'm not even thinking about the picture itself. I listen to news, I listen to music, I listen to a lot of stuff, I think about a lot of stuff. My preference is to let my mind float. That is the way that I do things. I also don't really like people bothering me for stuff. Don't tell me what to do, right? I talked about that in the last podcast. But that's how I am. And so when I'm in that dreamlike state, when I'm retouching, what I prefer to do is just listen to what's happening. And some of these realizations come on very strongly. And it's nice for me to address them and then I like to reconcile them. I like to be able to put them in a bin and then be able to deal with them in a gentle way, hopefully, and then be able to re-examine them later and then see if I've made a mistake or if I've accurately assessed the situation. But again, this is an ever going or everlasting phenomenon. And there is no end. There's no beginning. There is no end. There's a beginning. I don't know if there's an end. That's that. I hope you guys found that entertaining. It was fun to talk about, and hopefully we'll have more of, you know, more kind of that kind of discussion going forward. It's not always the case, though. I mean, it's really, for me to get on here and talk about stuff like this means that A, I have to have stuff to talk about. B, I have to want to talk about it. And then C, like later on, I have to have enough of enough momentum to actually push this thing through where you actually hear it. And that's not always the case, as you guys have found. But anyway, I'll talk to you guys all soon. Peace.